Welcome to Curious by Nature with me, Melissa Campbell. Back in 2015, I had a rather simple idea. I wanted my work to become an extension of how I live my life. I just didn't quite realise where that idea would take me. At the time, I wasn't happy with the way that I was living and treating myself, and I wanted to better understand some of the patterns and habits that weren't serving me. I wanted to enter into a more honest, conscious, and kinder relationship with myself. But what started as a desire for change actually became something much bigger, a curiosity about what becomes possible when we start looking beneath the surface. In 2015, I left my career, I went abroad, I came back home, I retrained into a completely different field, and over the next 10 years of teaching yoga, wellness, and embodiment practices, and also with a slightly ridiculous number of books, courses, questions, and rabbit holes under my belt, I've kept following that curiosity into new terrain and territory. But in fact, I've always been curious. As far back as I can remember, I've been fascinated by what makes people do the things that they do. What about the patterns that we continually find ourselves living out again and again? And what shapes us? And how do we make meaning? And following those questions through different practices, through ideas, different ideas and ways of seeing has changed my life in ways I couldn't have imagined back in 2015. And most importantly, my relationship with myself is also radically different. I understand myself differently, and I feel like I have more choice, compassion, and I hope a little more capacity to meet the wonderfully messy business of being human with more curiosity as opposed to judgment. And I'm still exploring, and that is what Curious by Nature is about. It is a place to wonder out loud, to follow questions, to explore ideas, and to have conversations and see what happens when we get curious enough to look beyond the surface. Because we are shaped by more than what we know, and when we begin to see what has been shaping us, we begin to have more choice in how we participate in our lives, and this frees up energy to live from our gifts, our uniqueness, and ways of being. And so, in these episodes, we're going to be exploring different topics and questions through the lenses of psychology, astrology, symbolism, the seasons, identity, meaning, and through the stories that we inherit. All with a kind of central question in mind: what becomes possible when we can see more clearly what has been shaping us? So, welcome. I'm Melissa, and I'm curious by nature. Let's see where it takes us. Welcome to this first episode, which I am calling Identity, the call to becoming more fully yourself. So, as I said, this is the first episode. Welcome. In the introduction, I spoke about a particular period of my life, 2015, and the few years that followed it, where I'd had this really simple idea of my work becoming an extension of how I lived my life, which required a lot of change, I have to tell you. But actually, when I look back at that period of my life, that's not where the story began. There was a significant chapter that had begun some years earlier, around 2007 and 2008. So at that time, I was working as a manager of a youth offending team, and I'd been in that job for 7 years, which I had loved, until I didn't love it anymore. And in fact, I was actually quite burnt out. Alongside my role there, I was also in my spare time, I was doing courses in personal development, in coaching, self-help, and it was an extension really of my job, this kind of drive to understand people more, to understand what gets in our way, but also about what our gifts are, what we're not seeing, and the practices that we can do to help reveal that. And so eventually I handed in my notice with no job to go to. I just knew that I wanted out. It was a real deeply intuitive decision. I didn't have a plan. As I said, I didn't have a job. All I had was a feeling and a deep trust that somehow I would be okay. And I was, although not quite in the way that I imagined. So I had handed in my notice with this idea that I was going to go into self-employment and that I would move into doing some kind of coaching or personal development work. Instead, what happened was I ended up being headhunted for freelance consultancy work in youth justice. And I did end up being self-employed for the next 8 years, and I travelled around the country. I worked with a number of different youth offending teams. I used to stay in hotels. I earned really good money, and I built myself a successful consultancy business. And I loved having my own business. And yet, there was something unfinished. And that feeling that I'd had in 2007 came around again. And this was around the time of 2015. I answered the call again. I closed my company down, and this time I went to India for 2 months and I immersed myself in an ashram. So I was studying and practicing yoga every day. When I came back, I enrolled on a yoga teacher training course. And well, a lot of you will probably know the rest. I became a yoga teacher and I started to build my own yoga and well-being business. And here I am, now approaching nearly 10 years of teaching. And I've been thinking a lot about how things come back around. And I wonder, have you ever noticed that? So have you ever noticed that something happens in your life where there's a calling towards something or away from something perhaps? And that might be a particular habit or behavior, maybe it's a job or a relationship, a kind of adventure or an aspect of yourself. There is a calling towards or away from, and you make a choice to either accept that or not accept that, and then you'll move on. And then years later, you're standing somewhere again that feels strangely familiar to that same event. And maybe you've evolved, or maybe you didn't answer the call. But there's a thread, there's a feeling, there's a question, there's a calling, there is something that has never quite disappeared. And so it got me wondering about cycles and patterns. That's what I do. I teach seasonal yoga, I live seasonally, I'm very much interested in earth and sky wisdom. And so these patterns and cycles that move through our lives, and how sometimes we don't recognize these patterns and cycles. We might not recognize this thread of these events or callings, but when we're able to look back, we then begin to understand that there is a much bigger story at play. And so that's what I'd like to do today, because I believe that we are all moving through evolutionary journeys throughout our lives. These will be significant developmental themes that we will revisit again and again through our lives. I generally feel like there's probably more of a significant developmental theme, and also there are going to be lots of smaller evolutionary moments happening all the time within our lives. And these are moments and progressions of a journey, something in us that is asking us to become more conscious, something in us that is asking to become more integrated, perhaps more fully expressed. And I think of this like an access. And so at one end, there will be something that feels familiar. Let's call it our comfort zone. I think we're all kind of know that. So maybe it's something that we're good at, or it's somewhere or something we feel safe in because we know it. And then at the other end of the axis, there is unfamiliar territory, but it is ultimately something that we feel drawn towards. Now, it can feel many different things. It can feel exciting, and it can also feel frightening. It's going to be something that challenges us. But as I said, there's something in us that is feeling drawn towards it. There's something in it that's, there's something here for me. There's some growth in here. And we're going to explore that in this episode, this relationship between identity, belonging, and evolutionary growth. And what I'm specifically curious about is, what is the identity that we've become attached to? And how did that identity become organized in the first place? So you might think of it as like, what have I become very good at being? And where might life now be inviting me to move towards? So I wonder, as we move through this and I explain some things, that you'll keep an open mind and become curious about where this calling might be for you in your life, where you are right now. And we're going to look back at some dates as well. So I'm going to ask you to cast your mind back. And of course, you can pause and have a think about this and come back and revisit. So I want to say that the way that I'm exploring this is through an astrological lens, because astrology is one of the ways that I've learned to look at patterns and cycles in my own life. Now, you don't need to be an astrologer for any of this to be useful, and I don't want to put people off that are not into astrology or don't know anything about astrology. What I want us to think about is astrology as a symbolic language. So what we're interested in is the symbolism of astrology and the questions that those symbols open up for us, so more than the kind of technical aspects of it. Okay, I hope you're still with me. In astrology, we have something called the lunar nodes. We have a north node and a south node, and we will all have these nodes in our birth chart. And traditionally, the nodes are understood as describing something of an evolutionary tension, the thing that I've been talking about, what's familiar and developed within us, and where in our life's journey we're being invited to move towards. So we each have that placed somewhere in signs in our birth chart, and the nodes are always opposite one another in the birth chart, so they're always in opposite signs to one another. So our birth charts are formed on the exact moment of our birth, but the sky continues to move, the planets in the sky continue to move. So whilst the nodes are fixed in our birth chart, they're moving from, after the moment of your birth, they're moving now in the sky. So they continue to move through the zodiac. And this creates collective cycles that we all live through. And so the nodes are now in Leo and Aquarius. And this is where they're going to remain for the next 18 months. So collectively, that means all of us, we are moving through a Leo Aquarius story. And I'm going to focus particularly on Leo. Now, of course, it's not the whole story. Leo is only one half of the story, but I'm choosing to focus on Leo because there's a really important pondering, I guess, here around Leo and how it relates to identity. Because Leo is ruled by the sun. And symbolically, the sun speaks to our sense of self, our identity. It is the essential organizing principle around which our lives orbit. So there'll be certain values and energy expressions and characteristics that we will define as important. And also, as well as it being our sense of self and who I am, it is also who I am becoming. And this is where it gets really interesting, because we don't develop our sense of self in isolation, do we? We are shaped by our relationships, our parents, first of all, or our caregivers as we were growing up, by our school, society, our environment. So very early on, what happens is that we begin to discover what parts of us, so what parts of our identity, and behavior gets a response, specifically in terms of what gets approval. What gets us that feeling of being loved and valued, noticed, useful? What keeps us safe? What behavior keeps us safe? What makes us feel competent or special? And I'm not saying that these things are not necessarily ours in the first place, or they're not necessarily our gifts. But what I'm interested in is what happens when we begin to orbit around those things more tightly, when perhaps a natural capacity or something that was approved of or validated becomes an identity, becomes a role that we in habit, and then we feel that we have to maintain in order to get that recognition, in order to feel safe and validated. You know, perhaps what began as an authentic expression, or a way of, like I said, feeling safe in our environment, can gradually become something that we perform in order to continue receiving the validation that taught us that it was valuable. And also, conversely, we might then begin to disown or exile parts of us that we think won't get that same level of approval, or didn't get noticed, or were kind of told by others that it wasn't suitable. And the author Robert Bly has this wonderful metaphor for the shadow. So he talks about how when we're born, we have what he describes as a 360 degree personality, this whole kind of expansive globe of energy. And as we, as children, begin to grow, we begin to put parts of ourselves into a metaphorical bag. Parts that our parents, teacher, and society didn't like. These parts that perhaps weren't understood or were too much, or these kind of things that were rejected, or maybe even not noticed. So you could have been naturally artistic, for example, but that wasn't something that was celebrated in your family. Perhaps academic achievement was more valued. Maybe you were sensitive, but sensitivity wasn't valued. Perhaps you were deeply curious, but you were encouraged to be sensible. So we can begin to learn, as I said, which parts of ourselves are valued and which parts of us are better kept out of sight. So here begins to organize our identity around these kind of central principles. And this is normally around the things that get validated and rewarded. And this all relates to the expression of Leo as a sign. So what can happen here is, so say, for example, you are a capable person. And this is validated and praised. So you learn to then inhabit this identity and role as being the capable one. You're naturally helpful, so you become the helpful one. You're intelligent, you become the knowledgeable one or the strong one. So these things may be gifts, and yet they then become a sort of more fixed sense of self and identity. You know, if you're the strong one and you're good at holding things together, you are the one who holds everything together, and you start to play out that role more and more. I think I've labored the point, haven't I? What I'm saying is we can get over-identified with these things. And the thing through which we experience our value, we then have to keep feeding it. We get fearful of what would happen if I wasn't that person anymore. So if I am the one that is, if I'm valuable because I am wise, perhaps I'm going to always need to know more and learn more. If I'm valuable because I'm helpful, then I'm going to have to keep helping. If I'm valuable and recognized as being the strong one, then I can't let myself need anything. And this is exhausting, and it takes up a lot of our energy. And so I want to come back and bring it back to my own story, because when I look at these different periods of life, of my life, sorry, I can see a pattern, and I can see a very strong kind of Leo theme running through it around my identity. When we also think about the kind of a symbolic and archetypal expression of Leo, Leo is represented by the lion. We might think about this sense of courage. It is a fire sign, so it will always do, will have to do with creativity. It's around self-expression, and specifically, Leo is around the courage to follow our own hearts and to be our authentic self. And it requires that recognition of that. So you can see where this might get into shadow territory if we are performing not through our own authentic self-expression, but through the belief in which we believe we will be accepted by others and the things that are praised for. There is something here for me about listening inwardly about trusting my heart, even when I'm not able to kind of know what the future holds. So, there is something intuitive about it. There is a feeling, and that's certainly how that has played out through those dates. And I'm not sure if I mentioned, which was a little schoolgirl, or if I haven't, but the dates that I've mentioned is specifically the dates where the nodes were in Leo previously. So we are in that terrain now in August, at the time of recording, August 2026, for the next 18 or so months. And we were also in this time at 2017, which is when I started my yoga business, and in 2007, very late 2007. I'll go through those dates again. So those moments have felt, so when those moments of Leo energy in 2007 and 2009, 18 months or so, I was very much loosening my identification with being an employee. I had this creative impulse to explore and to follow something and to take a leap into the unknown. And there was a sense of autonomy here. And then also, what happened was this offer of more security and stability came about. And that's where I chose to go. So I didn't kind of follow through. I did a courageous act, but I didn't follow it all the way through. And then something in me starts saying, again, in 2014 and 2015, this isn't it. Now, I didn't say that also at this time, although the nodes weren't in Leo, I had something being activated in Leo in my chart. And so, again, this calling come, I'd built a successful career, but it no longer held the meaning for me. And so I followed the impulse again and went to India. I immersed myself in yoga. I came home and I trained as a yoga teacher. And then the 2017 access, I stepped into the identity of being a yoga teacher. And that identity has given me a huge amount. And I've learned, I've taught, I've trained, I've practiced, I've experimented. I've developed a body of work and I'm approaching 10 years of teaching. And again, there's a calling that's the full expression of my authenticity is being called around again. And what I can see when I reflect back on teaching is not to abandon teaching like I have in those previous cases, like, okay, this isn't me anymore. I think it's asking for a more mature response. I'm certainly not being called to throw away everything I've learned, but I am being called to deepen, to follow my heart. Because when I look back, I guess this is the point I'm trying to get at. Is that I've accumulated a lot of learning. I love to learn. I am genuinely naturally curious, and I suspect I always will be. And also, I've started to notice a more complicated relationship that I have with knowledge and the acquisition, of knowledge, and how there's something in me, that has come to believe that the more knowledge I have, it gives me a sense of credibility, and credibility then gives me a sense of value. And so accumulating more knowledge gives me this sense of safety, and it can also keep me trapped because I can oftentimes feel like I don't know enough and I have to learn more in order that I can start talking about it or teaching it. And I can definitely see that happen, how that happened when I started teaching yoga. I did a load of training. I really didn't feel like I fitted into this identity as a yoga teacher. Because it's not my identity, like this identity I was thinking about of what it means to be, inverted commas, a good yoga teacher. What is that? Like it isn't me. And so here I am again. It's not about stopping learning, I don't think, but I I think it's around the invitation to loosen the idea that I need to keep knowing in order to be valuable, and to come to accept that I have a body of lived experience, that I do have something to say, and I can be both a teacher and I can be both a student. So it's not so much about how much more do I need to know and learn to prove my worth. What happens when I no longer need my knowledge to prove my value? And that's where things can get a little interesting. So this is about having the courage to become more fully myself, to allow myself to be seen in what interests me rather than what I think is what other people want and what is valuable and accepted, and to follow and ex what's alive in me, to experiment, to explore, and to let the work evolve without needing to know where it's going, to trust a little more deeply. So this feels much more like the evolutionary movement that I'm actually experiencing. So I wonder whether the evolutionary invitation is around how can I become more fully myself without needing to be validated? And perhaps this is something for us all, that we might think about where are we spending energy maintaining an identity that no longer fits us or is enjoyed? And what might become available if some of that energy was released? And I think this is part of what has brought Curious by Nature into being, to really test myself, to experiment using my voice and speaking without feeling like I need to have the answers, to allow a space where I can be curious and explore, and where I can also bring in what I have learned and what I am continuing to learn, and for us to talk about it, and for us to say, hey, here's what I'm noticing. What about what are you noticing? And that's the kind of life that I want to be in, this more fluid expression and conversation with life. And what about you? I'm curious about you. And I'm curious about what identity you might have become attached to. What is the thing that you are praised for or are good at that might not be serving you in the best way anymore? And is there something where you've been stretched towards something, but then you've stepped back into what felt familiar? And I'm inviting you to look at this through the place in which you are in your life. So anything around your identity that feels particularly alive, and then going back in your life to look at the times when Leo was active, the nodes were Leo in active, sorry, the nodes were active in Leo. So I'm going to just repeat those dates for you and invite you to think about what was going on for you at this time in your life. So we are looking at the dates in December, from December 2007 to August 2009. So any shifts around identity there or calling, and also May 2017 to November 2018. December 2007 to August 2009, May 2017 to November 2018. And then here on in, we are in another 18-month journey with those. Okay. So we're wrapping up towards the end. We're thinking about the expression of Leo, of listening to our hearts and acting courageously from our hearts. And so we might also think of a moment, or you might even think of a moment in your life when your heart became more important than your fears. Has there been a moment in your life when you've stood at a crossroads, and perhaps that is a moment now, perhaps you are in a crossroad moment now, where there was a choice to stay with what is was familiar, expected of you, that was safe, and yet there was something inside you that knew, something that inside you that trusted yourself enough to take the step into being more authentically yourself. And even if that meant that people wouldn't understand the choice that you were making, when there were no guarantees that it would work, but and your heart was bigger than your fear. What was that moment for you? What did you choose? Maybe this is the question that we're all invited to be in at the moment. What is the courageous next step that would allow you to more deeply embody what is in your heart now? And so I want us to think about this is an evolutionary journey. And we can look back over times in our lives and we will see moments that we'll celebrate and we'll see moments where we're like, oh, could have done better then. And yet here we stand today, more wiser, more experienced, with more choice, because we are taking a moment to pause and look back. And what we can appreciate here is that being more authentic, I mean, it takes a lot to go against the grain. Let's be honest about that. Being more fully ourselves isn't one single big dramatic act. It is a series of moments where we notice the call and where we choose little by little to live more from our heart. And so again, what is the courageous next step that would allow you to more deeply embody what is in your heart now? What do you know to be true for yourself? What identity have you outgrown? And what identity do you want to shape? I'm hoping that's what Curious by Nature will become for me, a space where I can, as I said, bring what I've learned and also remain open to what I don't know. I'm reminded that when I look back at my life, the deepest things that I've learned haven't come from the things that I've studied. They've come from the actual experiences that I've lived through. Being more open to humility is really important when we think about Leo as an energy. Knowledge is very highly valued in our culture, and I said, like, it gives us these sort of qualifications and credentials, and it's one of the ways that we establish credibility and maybe a sense of authority. And yet, knowledge isn't the same thing as wisdom. I can know a great deal about something and still have plenty to learn from living it. So one of the shadow sides of Leo too is a sense of pride. And when our sense of self becomes something we feel like we need to protect, where the recognition and being seen in a particular way through a kind of egocentric kind of way becomes more important than allowing our true self to be seen and allowing ourselves to keep going. And so, is there any a sense of attachment to who you think you are, and is that getting in the way of who you might want to become? And we don't need to answer all of these questions. I know I've said a lot of questions, and as I come to a close, there's part of me that is like, oh, I haven't said this the right way. I didn't explain that. Maybe I should have studied a little bit more about how to record things and how to structure things. And I could have. And there's part of me that wishes I did, and yet I'm here, and I know that this is where the learning is. Let us be humble in being a beginner, in being a student of life, of living through experiences that ultimately challenge us, but encourage us to grow and to get satisfaction from choosing our hearts. Okay. I hope I've opened up a little space for you to wonder, to notice what you might not have noticed recently, to see what becomes possible when you get curious enough to look beyond the surface. Go back over those dates, think about where you stand now, and I'm really curious, what is the next step on your evolutionary journey of listening bravely and courageously to your heart? What are you valuing in your life now? What do you want your life to centrally organize around? And can you be humble enough to listen and be that student and be a beginner? Thank you so much for listening. I've really enjoyed exploring and pondering and wondering and being curious. I hope to see you next time. Thank you.